And that you are allowed to speak into our lives and circumstances and situations to move us on and to take us into everything you've planned for us. And this morning we invite you, Holy Spirit, to make Jesus known, to unveil our hearts, to understand and to have light. The entrance of your word brings light. We thank you for your word. And we ask that it will really illuminate our hearts and minds as we follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Thank you that you are relevant, Lord. Always relevant, always all-knowing, seeing, all-powerful. But you are so, so wanting to lift us out of the circumstances of our lives and bring us into the greatness of your power. And so we invite you, Lord, to speak to us and work in us and amongst us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So be it. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel. I'm going to read something here and just see where the Lord takes us today. I'm not totally sure, but we're going to start with Mark chapter 4. And see what happens next. By faith. let's come to the word together. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, Jesus really wants to teach us something through this story, this parable, this event that took place in the lives of those who were following Jesus. And he wants us to understand that life doesn't always happen as we'd like it. Sometimes situations and circumstances happen to us even when we are being faithful followers of Jesus. And I think the mindset of living in an unreal world without problems is actually a false way of thinking. Because Jesus actually said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I believe that Jesus wants us as his people to think overcoming, to think about how he wants to bring every circumstance and situation that looks out of control under his reign. And I believe that as we are journeying with Jesus, his presence here through his Spirit, he wants us to be so filled with himself that we approach our problems completely different to the disciples' approach in that boat. Now, I have lived as the disciples lived in particular moments, and I would bet, if I asked everybody here, was there ever a time in your spiritual journey you said, "We're gonna sink, we're dying, it's all over"? Or has anybody ever come out with that little faith or doubt declaration? And the disciples were in a real situation of trouble. And I love the Lord because he knows that faith is relevant for real circumstances in life. And he is present with us to change those circumstances that are adverse or coming against us. So we can't actually stop all of them coming, but we can actually stop them sinking us and bring those situations under the control or the reign of Jesus Christ. So in other words, we can stop storms. Now, what I really think the Lord wants us to focus on is that Jesus was in the same storm in the boat with the disciples. Because we often think God isn't there when we're in a storm. But Jesus said, I promise to never leave you or forsake you. So he's never left, even if you're going through trouble. So Jesus is in the boat. He is present in that situation. The disciples' stress level is rising. It's actually looking at the waves and the conditions and the water actually coming into the boat. And these are real things. They're getting wet. So it's not an imaginary scene, it's a real scene. There is something happening that's wrong, and if it carried on, might overpower them, might sink them. But Jesus is present, and he has a completely different attitude to the disciples. He was calm. Now, there is great value in being peace-filled or calm. Now, it is impossible naturally to be calm without the presence of Jesus. But it is possible to live filled with peace because Jesus himself is present. And he gives us peace. Jesus is actually the peace bringer. He not only brings us peace with God through forgiveness of sins and making us right by faith alone. So we have peace with God, but he also brings the peace of God. His peace, which means a substance or a reality of the Holy Spirit living inside of each one of us, that when we're filled with the Spirit, we will automatically be filled with peace. Spirit-filled people, God is training us, isn't he, to live in peace, with the peace of God, not just peace with God. Now, the key to seeing how peace can lead you into victory is seeing that you yourself must become a person of peace. You can't calm the circumstances or the storms until you are calm. Jesus was calm. He had an inner calm before he saw his circumstances change. And I believe the enemy tries to rob us of our peace because he knows that if we're not calm, we can't rule over our circumstances. If we're not at peace and living in God's peace, we don't have that spirit-filled power to overcome what's going on around us. Now, the whole purpose of Jesus getting in this boat isn't actually to lead them into trouble. It's actually to lead them into reaching others. Everything that Jesus does in our lives is to take us to reach somebody with the kingdom of God. But on that journey, the devil tries to stir up circumstances that actually make us more sunk about our lives than focused on others. You know, if you're struggling with things, it's like your whole focus is taken on trying to deal with issues rather than dealing with the kingdom of heaven is here. I'm overcoming personally so that I can reach somebody with the good news of Jesus. And so we, by default almost, become so self-circumstantial focused rather than kingdom focused. And this lesson is a lesson, I believe, for all of us. Jesus was not anxious about the circumstances. And didn't he say, do not be anxious for anything. Do not worry about your life. Because he knew that if we're filled with anxiety and worry, we actually don't have that faith and authority to stop the storms of our lives so that we can fulfill the purpose God has for each one of us. But Jesus actually uses these circumstances to help us to understand that it is important to live in peace. And I don't need to convince you that peace is actually something the world cannot give you. And actually, neither can your circumstances. We think we'll have peace if everything changes. So in other words, we're looking to our circumstances to change. Or we're looking to somebody else changing. I'll be really at peace when my husband or my wife changes. That'll bring me to peace. I'll be at peace when my job changes. I'll be at peace even when my health changes. I'll be at peace when I can sort out my money. But Jesus says that it is possible for us to live in peace before we see the changes in our circumstances. And I know there's some doctors and medical people here this morning, the majority of sicknesses come to us through this vehicle of anxiety and stress. And we must take Jesus at his word that he has come to live in us to fill us with his peace so that we don't need to be filled with concern, worry, anxiety, stress, and fear. And if I could say, God's goal for us through this message this morning is that you become a person, a man or woman of peace. Amen. That the peace of God rules in your life. Now, Colossians tells us, and this is like a command to Christians, to God's people, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule. So in other words, it's a bit like I've got to do something to allow the release of peace in my life. I've got to allow peace to rule because I can allow anxiety to rule. You know, how many of you know you can allow anxiety to take over your life? I don't need to convince you, do I? Now, in the boat, I did have 10p on me somewhere. Oh yeah, wrong pocket. In the boat, Jesus is sleeping and he gets up. He's still not bothered. So you think it's all right for him when he's asleep. He doesn't even know they're sinking. But then he woke up and he still wasn't bothered. And I believe that there are two sides to this coin that we're facing. If we can say, on one side, Jesus is calm because he knows there's an unseen power and kingdom available. He's seeing what they currently aren't seeing because we live by faith in what we don't see or feel, but is present. We believe that Jesus is present and we believe the kingdom of heaven is present in that boat. Jesus has come to bring the kingdom of heaven, the dominion or the reign of God in this world. So we're not waiting to get to heaven for the reign of peace in the world. Otherwise, he'd have done nothing about it. But he stopped that storm. So when you look at this coin, you could say the head is symbolic of Jesus Christ, our living head. He's here. His spirit is present. His kingdom is present. Now, Jesus is got no mind at all on the storm. He's not even thinking about the storm. He's thinking about no problem. What I've got can stop it. So I'm not going to be bothered by this. The disciples are on the other side of the coin. They're looking at the tails. And they're saying, storms, trouble, money, marriage, kids, work, I don't know, people's demands, the stresses and pressures of life. I'm busy. I'm so busy. I can't tell you how busy I am. And that looking at tails is stopping them from looking at the heads. And it's like the devil sends storms or trouble into our lives to make us tail focused. Like I'm on the tail end of this. This is really knocking me about. And I feel like life is just pushing me around. Instead of thinking and turning 180 degrees, if I turn this coin 180 degrees, do a 180 degrees turn, I get heads. And the disciples, praise God, at least turn to Jesus. Fig tree begins. At least they got their eyes off the sinking. I mean, they got wrong theology thrown in because storms have a habit of shaping your theology if you're not careful. The trouble makes you think that God doesn't care. It's a load of poppycock. Of course God cares. But he actually wants us to live by faith that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Now, the disciples had faith in the problem, in the storm, in what was making them anxious, more than they had faith in Jesus. But when they turned 180 degrees, they began to look at Jesus. They saw the reality of how to respond in a storm. And that's what Jesus is teaching them. He says, I want you to respond like I do. You're my people. I want you to see that you have what it takes to overcome this storm. But peace must reign in your life first. Peace must reign in your life first. Even when the storms are raging. Even when the circumstances aren't perfect. Let the peace of God reign first. Amen. Now, how do we do that? Because the storms say loud. They speak loud. They scream. Your situation screams louder often than the presence of the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of heaven in you. And so that storm begins to say, and this is what I believe every storm is sent by the devil to do, I'm bigger than God. I'm definitely bigger than you, but I'm bigger than God. And I'm going to overpower you. Because isn't that the devil's intention? To make us think we are going to lose in a situation. Whereas we should be thinking, through my God, I can run against a troop, leap over a wall. I can stop every storm. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I have authority. He gave me authority over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus, the only thing he needed to do was, because he was living in peace, was speak quiet. Be still. That's not a long prayer. That's not many words. It's three. Quiet. Be still. And that storm stopped. I believe today, even if you are not yet in a place of the 180 degree turn, I am. And I believe today that I've got authority over your storm and mine. I'm at peace, and I know I've got authority to stop those storms. But what Jesus wants more than that is to get you to stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of peace, because you trust in Him. Now, let's look at Isaiah, because I'm just wanting to just let the Lord build peace into our whole being this morning. The peace of God. Isaiah 26. Wonderful scripture here. Isaiah 26. I love this verse. Verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds," say minds, "minds, not on the trouble, but are steadfast because they trust in you." So your mind and your faith is in Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you something, that if your mind's on the storm and you're trying to believe God, it will make you double-minded. But if you take your mind 180 degrees and turn it onto Jesus and His promises, then faith can come into your heart and you can trust Him and think victory over your circumstances. And this is something that we are told to do. Keep your mind, fix your thoughts. You see, you have power to think about what you want to think about. Jesus demonstrated that in the boat. He had power to not think about the storm, but think about the resources of heaven. And we have power to think about the kingdom of heaven is here. The Lord God Almighty, all powerful, is within me. I will not be afraid, for the Lord is with me. He is my shield. No good thing will He withhold from him whose walk is upright. All of the things that we've been singing and speaking today are for real. They're more real than what's going on here. And if I live in that mindset fixed on Him, trusting in the Lord with all of my heart, it's not just mental ability, it's faith. It's trusting in the Lord with all my heart, but also my understanding, my mindset is being refused access to the problem. I am refusing my mind to go to tails. I am saying, "You're sticking on heads." And I'm going to work with the Lord with my mind to ensure that I've got a head mindset, not a tail mindset. And trust Him with all of my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. He will give constant perfect peace. Imagine that. Perfect peace in a storm. Imagine it. In fact, think about it. Think about every situation the enemy stirs up around a believer's life, your life, to stop you moving forward with God. He will give perfect peace if your mind is on Jesus and you trust in Him completely. Now, faith needs a solid foundation, guys. You know, I was recently painting my wooden shed. And you're going to laugh at this. And I was really foolish. I didn't have the right foundation for the ladder. And you know when your ladder, if you put up a ladder to the, I was putting up to this, it's quite a high shed, and I'm painting at the top, and San was, we were doing this together, but she'd gone in to wash the brushes, and I was finishing off the top bit. I thought, well, I can just get away with that. So it's quite a tall ladder. So I go up the ladder with the paint. With the paint. But I'm an unstable foundation. And I get up there and start to, you know, how you've got the big pot and it's a big 5-litre pot of brown. It's brown. Very brown. I'm kind of standing there. And of course, because the bit I'd painted, the ladder was on that bit and it was quite slippery. So there's kind of uneven ground here, slippery up there, and I start to paint. This happened a few weeks ago. And I go, as I'm painting, the ladder starts to slide. And I'm down. I crash on my shoulder. Like, I'm telling you, for a few weeks, somebody hugged me at the door, on the door team. I love the door team. But literally, he put his arm down, bang, on my... And I went, whoa! And I tried not to... Oh, it's lovely to see you. So I kind of sprained something in there, but not for long, and the Lord did something wonderful to heal me. But I was absolutely covered in brown paint. Now you see, so many Christians, when they hit a crisis, are like standing on a ladder that has no solid foundation. And you're trying to see something done and accomplished, but actually you're not grounded in the Word of God. The promises, the exceedingly great and precious promises, which are written here for all of us who belong to Jesus. They're all yes and amen. But the only stable ground is put your ladder and your life, the whole weight of your life, on the Word and you won't fall. You will stay strong and accomplish what God has said He's going to do. God's going to return the Word that He gave you and complete it. And when I say I trust in the Lord, I'm saying I trust completely in every word that God actually says. My foundation of faith isn't my imaginations or my thoughts that I feel God might do something. I know that He'll do it because He said He'd do it because it's written. So I put my faith on the written Word of God, which is unchanging, unshakable, and God is not a man that He should lie. And He's never going to change His mind with the promises that He's given. And they're all yes and amen in Jesus. So put the weight of your life first on the promises. Trust Him and the peace of God. Allow the Word to renew your mind. Put your faith. Trust in what He says He's going to do. Amen. And you will not fall. He will uphold you by His righteous right hand. And He will fill you with peace. And then you can look out from this beautiful, wonderful place of peace, looking at the problem different, saying, quiet, stop, in the name of Jesus. Because you've become a man or woman of peace. So we need our minds and our faith to work together to live in peace with the Word and the life of the Holy Spirit in us. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's peace. The enemy works to bring mental torment. And I'm telling you, in this season of moving forward, being filled with the Spirit, believing God for a move of God that will transform our communities and transform the way we live our lives, that we see the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. that the enemy, of course, is going to try and bring mental torment. Of course he's going to try and bring storms to stop us. But I have an announcement for the devil this morning that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Nothing coming against you will win. But I'm here and we're here to reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ, His Spirit and His Word, not through our own efforts. You know, people can do a lot with their own efforts, their own abilities. I went to the cinema and watched Eddie the Eagle. And it was funny. A bit of a tearjerker. Eddie the Eagle was a guy, an ordinary guy. His dad was a plasterer, and he had a dream from being a boy. He was born in this country. Had a dream from being a boy that he would be an Olympic skier. Brilliant. Or do anything in the Olympics. But he had very weak knees, so he grew up with his legs in calipers. But his parents thought he was a little bit crazy, and you know how you start to support the dreams of children when they say, I'm going to be an Olympic runner, I'm going to be a fireman, I'm going to be, you know how kids do. And this kid was saying, I'm going to the Olympics, I'm going to run or do something for my nation. Dad would be like, yeah, you're going to be a plasterer like me. And Mum tried to encourage him. It's an amazing story. It's a really feel-good movie. But what surprised me about this boy is all the way through the years, nobody believed in him. He had nobody encouraging him, apart from his mama, who was always trying to be nice to him, but didn't really believe. And he kind of decided he couldn't really run very well, so he tried skiing. And then he wasn't any good at anything, but he thought he'd have a go one day, and he saw somebody come down the ski jump. Wow. You know, when they sit there at the top and they look down, they're down this and then they do this incredible jump. He said, I'll have a go at that, because nobody in England ever did it. So he said, I'm definitely, certainly going to be part of the Olympics, because I've got no competition. And it's a wonderful story about the power of determination, of not listening to all the negatives and all the things that people say about him. And it's impossible. You can't do it. And he managed to get a coach on board who helped him to win. Well, to win. He never won anything, but he did go to the Olympics. And it's such a story of the triumph of human nature. God wasn't in on it. And the whole nation got behind this little hero, 1988 Winter Olympics. Amazing story. It really is a good story. But it's not a God story. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit living. Can we take the lid off? If we've got God inside of us, what do you think we could do? Think about that for a moment. If you're the only teacher in your school that has the Holy Spirit, you should be the best. If you're a designer, you should be the best. God's in you. You should be the best mums and dads because you're relying on the Holy Spirit. You've got the Word. We should be the best employees, the best businessmen and women. But it's our thinking, isn't it? It's so limited. It's so small that God wants to say something to us this morning. Actually, I want you to look at the heads, not the tails. Look at what is possible and start to live in my peace and reign in life over your circumstances that come against you. One of the things that I was doing this week, I was ministering to somebody who was sick. And, do you know, if you've got the wrong thinking, you can't receive. If you're not at peace, you can't be healed. Can't receive healing if you're not at peace. Many people are looking for pills, God's saying peace. Many people are looking for the miracle, when actually God's looking for peace first. Peace through faith, trusting in the Lord, knowing the Word, having your mindset right. And I was just listening to this woman, and she's quite sick. And come on in. She was, I don't know, we got talking, because I just wanted to find out where she was at, because there's no point in praying if somebody's not at peace or in faith. Just need them to come to the Lord first and just cast all their cares onto Jesus, because He cares for you. So I'm just talking to her, and she said, years ago we visited this church, and they taught us, my sister and I, and we're both really struggling with sickness, they taught us that there are generational curses that affect us. And the reason I'm sick is because I'm cursed. Oh, do you know, at that moment I could both rejoice and kick the devil out. I hate the devil. Yeah. And I hate false teaching. Yeah. Because that's what the devil sows. Yeah. False teaching. She believed that she was under a curse. And that mindset and belief meant that she didn't think she was free to receive healing. She was definitely not at peace thinking she was cursed. Now this is as a believer. And she said, in my family, such awful things happened, I think I'm paying for their sin. Baloney! Jesus paid for all of our sin. He either did or He didn't. Jesus died for our sins. All of them. And she said, well, I think I've got to have, will I have to pray and you pray for me and these demons and I'll have to, you know, some people tell them, this is what her teaching was, you're going to have to vomit up all those demons. What a load of rubbish. Yeah. I said, no. I said, just let me take you to the scriptures. Let's get you on the ladder with a firm foundation on the Word of God. He became a curse, Galatians 3, He became a curse for us so that the blessing in Christ Jesus would come upon the Gentiles. So, we will be blessed. How can anyone in Christ be cursed? Can I ask you the question? How can anyone in Christ be anything but blessed? So basically, we had to deal with wrong thinking and believing. And she came to peace. Do you know, my past isn't over me. My family's past isn't over me. I do not inherit diseases. I inherit health in Christ Jesus. I do not have a natural line. I have a Jesus line. I have been born again. I am a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. You see, Paul puts it like this, how the enemy uses strongholds in our thinking. The enemy puts mindsets into us. And a stronghold is actually a fortified building. And these are lies that we've lived with and accepted for a long time that are in our minds. But the weapons we fight with are not carnal, but mighty. They have divine power for the demolishing of strongholds, tearing them down. And taking captive every thought that is a pretension, is saying, I'm bigger than God. You will never win. You will never overcome this. You will never be well. You will never see the blessing of God. You don't qualify. You don't deserve. Every high thing that opposes the knowledge of God, the word demolishes it. Divine power, our weapons carry power to demolish wrong thinking. It's like the word of God is like dynamite. And so is prayer. The word of God is like, you know, imagine going to a fortified building, throwing a few sticks to it, saying, I wish it would fall down. I wish I could change my thinking. I wish I could be free of the enemy's attacks in my mind. Well, you can be if you pick up God's dynamite. And you take the word of God and you put it up against that building. Use your faith, set it off. That stronghold is blown out because God's word has power to change that wrong way of thinking. We must live in His peace and allow trusting the Lord, His Spirit, and His promises to bring the reign of peace. You must live in peace about your family. Hello? Anybody there? You must live in peace. The devil wants to worry you to death. Literally. He wants you to sleep for 8 hours and wake up tired. Because you're in such mental torment, turmoil, where there's no peace of mind or heart. He wants you to come to, the Lord wants you to come to peace now, today, and not leave distressed, nervous about life, concerned. I'm really concerned about me. I'm really concerned about my son. And we talk. And sometimes, you know, these things need praying about and leaving with the Lord. But they don't work if you worry about them. Life will never work worrying. The kingdom of heaven doesn't work by worrying. And it's time to leave situations with Jesus. It's time to say, whatever's going on around me, I'm going to live in His peace. It's time to say, this Satan will not steal my peace because I'm here not just to live in peace, but to reign in life. And my victory over my circumstances is connected to my living in peace personally. And you might say, you've never faced what I'm facing now. I have compassion on you. I probably haven't. I probably haven't. Some people go through awful trials in life. But all I know is Jesus is in the boat. All I know is the Lord's there. And all I know is the Lord's promised certain things that if you get your mind off the tail and you get your focus off what's wrong and you turn 180 degrees to Jesus and say, Lord, you're my peace. Lord, your promises are true and I accept what you say. I will not live stressed. I'm just going to finish with this, just to finish, and then we're going to pray. I trust the Lord speaking this morning. We are going to reach people, but we need to be demonstrators of what it's like to be filled with the Spirit, trusting the Lord, which means people are amazed at how peaceful you are. When everybody else panics, you're at peace. And so when you get a bad report, you go, right, I'm turning 180 degrees away from that to Jesus. Trusting Him with all my heart and not allowing the enemy to take me down by looking at the tails. Thank you, Lord. What about daily lives? Because it's not just in the big things, it's in the little things of life. And I believe the little things can sometimes steal our peace. I'm going to say a few, but I'm sure you could think of many. Traffic. Work. How many of you had a job that have a job that make you feel stressful? I do. like, gosh, just a few of us. Things happen at work. People don't pay their bills. Somebody actually does something that affects you. Kids, that can be a stress point. Demands of people can put huge pressure on us. Lost keys. What are you like when you lose your keys? What would Jesus be like? Oh, well, my Father knows where they are. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom. What about being late? Are you, I mean, there's something in me, I was brought up to never be late. And if I'm late, I'm always early. But if I'm ever late, I can just feel it. I can feel that pressure build. I can feel the stress of that build up. And the Lord says, I don't want you to live like that. In your daily life. In the real things of your day. You see, if we live reacting to being late, losing our keys, wondering if we're going to get this work done, the pressures of targets, the pressures of money, the pressures of relationships, then you've got to see the kids, and then you've got to go and do this. You know, we can live our days reacting to problems. Can't we? And this daily reaction causes stress. Some people are even employed to be problem solvers. And they go from one problem to another, to another, to another. But I think the busyness of life makes us go from one thing to another, to another, to another. And actually, we are not responding to the available presence and power of God when we lost the keys. When somebody has an opinion about us that makes us nervous. We are reacting to problems and not to the presence of the Lord. And I believe the Lord wants us to live conscious of Him in moment by moment living. I think, well, you live in an unreal world. We could say Jesus did, but He didn't. He came to change the world. And you can't change the world unless you enter His way of living. And so we must learn how to live in peace and make it a daily habit. How do we do that? First of all, I believe, lost my keys or in traffic, I say, this is what I do. Lord, I accept your presence and your power to not get stressed. I make it a choice, a decision. I will not be stressed. I will accept your power. So I said, Lord, thank you that you're my peace right now. Even if you're in a situation of conflict, you can say, Lord, thank you that you're my peace. I'm not going to strive to receive. I just choose to accept. And then I go move from that to, thank you, Lord. I say out loud, you are my strength now. Not tomorrow, now. I need you now. You're my peace now. Lord, I don't know what to do. You're my wisdom now. You're my help now. You're my power now. And so I'm living turned to the Lord, accepting and affirming His presence. And when it says, let the peace of God reign, I see that as like allowing the Holy Spirit into everything. Okay? So I see it like a visitor coming to my house. I know he's already in me, but I see if I open my door, when somebody knocks on my door, I don't just unlock it and throw the door open and say, help yourself. I welcome in positively that person. So what I'm doing to let God rule and let the peace of God rule and reign in my life is that I'm saying, Lord, I let you in. I welcome you into my soul, into my mind and emotions right now to bring your peace. I think about you in this moment and I thank you that you're my help. So I accept, I speak it out, even if it's only quietly. Lord, thank you that you are my life. You're my peace, my strength now. And Lord, I'm going to act on what I believe about your presence and power in me. Now, I know that this will save us from not having what it takes when problems come. Jesus was already ready for the storm because he was already in peace. If we live in peace, we will be ready. And I believe it's better to live ready than live responding to a crisis. And so living in peace is part of our inheritance. And your mind will say it's unreasonable to think like this, but your mind has to change. So does mine. I live by faith and I will trust the Lord in everything. And today is the day to say, it's important, and I choose peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. I choose to give everything to the Lord, and I choose to live in the power of his peace. Some of you, I know, are facing huge challenge, but those challenges aren't bigger than Jesus. And those challenges cannot sink you if you turn away from them and look to Jesus. He will make you an overcomer and a reigning in life through his peace. Shall we stand?
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.